Morning, everyone. Great to see you, and thanks for coming out. It's the summer, isn't it? There's loads of things that could be happening, that you could be doing, but we've gathered as church to worship God, haven't we? And isn't that a fantastic thing to do? We're part of a series, as Dan said at the beginning, we're looking at the three dimensions of Christian living, up, in, and out, our upward connection to God. We looked at things like prayer and worship and getting into the Word of God. As we connect with God inward Christian community, we support each other, we're united by relationship, we love one another. I'm doing the last of those three preachers this morning, being united as disciples together. And then we're going to go on to look at three sessions on the outward dimension of Christian living. How do we reach out to other people around us with the gospel? How do we help to meet people's needs, bring the kingdom of God into their lives? So three dimensions, up, in, and out. I was listening to Nancy Bentliff's most recent talk. I think it was the first of the upward sessions we looked at. And she was talking about a conviction that she's got from looking into the purpose of the church. And she explained that really there was two main purposes. One is that we're a people. As Phil was reading, was that passage from 1 Peter, Phil, that you were reading this morning? Just incredible. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. God is bringing a people together to worship him. We are drawn together, united together to worship God, a main purpose of the church. But this is not a people that's described in 1 Peter, which Phil read. It's not a people that's just limited to a few. God is on a mission to reach this world. His desire is that all people will be saved, come into a knowledge of him. He wants this people to expand, this worshipping people to expand as more and more people come to follow Jesus. And so as well as gathering together to worship, we want to be part of an expanding people gathering together to worship. We want to reach out and see others come in and be part of this people of God. And as I listened to Nancy, I've kind of massively paraphrased what Nancy said and probably added a load to it, but have a listen and you can see exactly what she said. But I was just struck by it. And as I was listening to Nancy, I was like, yes, 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 because that is a conviction that I've carried for such a long time, that really the purpose of us as church is to gather together and worship God and then see so many more people added to our number. So as we go through this morning and look at being united as disciples together, just to give you an idea of where we're at on our series there, as we look at that this morning, can I encourage you to keep those two things in mind? A people to worship God and more people coming into that people. If you've put your faith in Jesus and you've committed to follow him, then you are part of this people. What Phil read out this morning, what I'm speaking about. You're a child of God, as John declared. You've got a story like Jim's of God rescuing you and bringing you into the people of God. We're called to worship him, to fill the earth with his worship, to declare the praise of him who called us out from darkness into his wonderful light, to live for him, to put him first in everything, and to reach out to others and invite them into that people too. Last month, I think it was the 7th of July, Steve Thomas was with us. If you don't know Steve, he leads the international team of Salt and Light, the family of churches that we're part of. And he came and shared, I felt really powerfully, from Mark chapter 1. And I wasn't here on the day, but I listened to his talk and was just really struck. If you've been on this journey with us as we've formed this hub church and now, what, a year and a half into the hub church, you'll know that Mark chapter 1 is quite a pivotal scripture for us. We've looked at it a few times. I remember back in October, I think it was, of 2017, just before we started the hub church, we brought together North, South, and East churches, those churches that came together to form the hub. And I preached from Mark chapter 1. About being called to follow Jesus and fish for people. And Steve just hit the nail on the head, I felt, when he shared, just right in line with the discipleship calling that's on us as a church. And so I make no apology for this morning going back to Mark chapter 1, For some of you, you might think, oh, we've heard this, and so it might be a bit of a repeat for you. Could I encourage you to engage with this and just see what God might say to you afresh from this passage? But if you've joined us since the hub started, or if you're visiting today, then I hope this will be an encouragement to you, because it certainly has to us. So let's have a look at Mark chapter 1. Just to set the scene a little bit, in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, they both talk a lot more about Jesus' early life, and they go to a lot more detail about things like his baptism and the temptations that Jesus goes through in the wilderness. Mark seems to want to get into it a lot more quickly. He wants to talk about the kingdom coming. He wants to talk about the fireworks, Jesus' ministry, the things he's doing. So he does mention the baptism and temptations, but it's a lot briefer than Matthew and Luke do. And so we come to verse 14 of Mark 1, and we've already had baptism, we've already had temptations, and we're into this. In verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I want to pick out three words from that passage that strike me. Time, repent, and believe. So Jesus announces the time has come. The kingdom of God is here. There's two Greek words for time. The first one is a word called kairos, which is being used here. Kairos talks about a moment in time. This is what Jesus is declaring. This is a moment in time, a significant point in history when God's kingdom is breaking in. The other word is chronos, where we get chronological from. That's kind of, this happens at this point, then this, or it's whatever, I've got my stopwatch on, but whatever time it is now, that's kind of chronos. We're not talking about that. We're talking about kairos, a moment in time when God is breaking in. And then he says, repent. So often we think about repent as saying sorry. It's so easy to say, oh, I made a mistake there. I'm really sorry. Okay, move on. And it doesn't really change us that much. Repenting is so much more than that. Repenting is saying, I'm going to live differently in the light of what Jesus is doing. In the light of this kairos moment of God's kingdom breaking in, I'm going to live differently. I'm going to change direction. I'm not going to be the same again. And then believe. Having repented, having changed our mindset, having decided to think differently, believe. Have faith in what God can do in the light of his kingdom coming. I love how Steve put it when he spoke on Mark 1 a few weeks ago. He said, biblical belief really means stop being passive. He talked about the churches in France that he works with, where sometimes he hears the phrase, we believe, but we don't practice. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We've got a faith in him that he's out there and he does good things, but it doesn't make a difference to our daily life. It doesn't change us. That's so far from what Jesus meant when he said believe. Stop being passive. Get involved. Have a change of mindset as you repent. Turn in a different direction and believe. Get involved. Don't stand on the sidelines and have a vague belief in God. Get involved in his mission. Get involved in what he's doing. When Jesus declared this, he was here on the earth, God in flesh. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is still here. Because Jesus went up to be with his Father. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he sent his Holy Spirit. And the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit is the church. It's here with us. We're called the body of Christ because we're Jesus' presence here on the earth. That's what we're here for. We're here to carry on this kingdom moment that's broken in. It's down to us, guys. Jesus wants to do it through his church. And so he sends his Holy Spirit to live, to dwell in the church. We are his hands and feet to see the kingdom of God come here on earth. Isn't that exciting? Amen. If you're part of this church, or if you're part of another church visiting us, if you've signed up to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, then you've signed up to a number of things that sometimes we easily forget. Let me just point out a few of them. You're called to be united as disciples together. And you're called to be part of a church with other flawed believers. I just want to make that point. That we're not all perfect, guys. We're united together as disciples, but we're not perfect. I have to tell you that I'm not as perfect as all you guys are. All right? I just want to put it out there. And, you know, I go through struggles in life. I get things wrong. I fall short a number of times. I don't come before you this morning as the pastor who's got everything sorted out. But I do come before you as one who is willing to give my life for the gospel with my strengths and my weaknesses. When I spoke a few weeks ago about worship, I just wanted to say thank you to you all for just your help and your support over the last few months following the death of my father. Because you've given me a chance just to take some time out to slow down a bit. My capacity's normally up there. I'm normally one of those people and just do loads of stuff. But my capacity's been reduced and I've had to rely on people like I maybe haven't done before. And I've had to push into God. And you guys have allowed me to do that and I'm so grateful. You've allowed me to spend time with my family. I'm so grateful that my mum and my brother are here this morning, and thank you for coming and being part of today. It's just great. I've been able to spend time with my family and we've needed it. Thank you. We all go through stuff in life, whether it's bereavements, whether it's struggling with something, whether we're trying to overcome something, we all go through stuff. And we all need to be gracious with each other and we all need to stand with each other. And please don't try and put on a mask to say everything's perfect and I'm the sorted Christian, because we're all on a journey to become more like Jesus. Let's be with each other and support each other and not try to always give the impression that we're the perfect Christian. Because if you think that I'm giving that impression, don't believe me. If you're giving that impression, I don't believe you. In a church like this, you'll click with some people and you won't click with other people. That happens. You won't yet know everyone in this church. We're a bigger church now. It'll take some time to get to know everyone. But we're united together. I'm so grateful, Phil, for you reading that passage. That was a God thing this morning, because that's been on my heart, how we are brought together as a people. And so, yes, celebrate those relationships, the people you get on so well with, but please don't just stick with those relationships. We're united together, all of us, and we're united with the churches in this town, and we're united with the churches in this nation and the nations of this world, because we are all part of the one big body of Christ brought together to worship him. In Mark 1:17 that we read there, Jesus calls his disciples, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. Guys, if you're signing up to follow Jesus, you're signing up to fish for people. It's clear as I think it can be in that passage. Interestingly, Jesus announces the kingdom has come near. He announces this Kairos moment of the kingdom of God breaking in. And what's the first thing he does? He calls people to train them. Because he knows it's going to be through people, through the church that is going to be formed, that this world will be reached. He calls people, he trains people. If you're following Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus, and he wants to train you to be part of this ever-expanding people of God that you're part of. Guys, that's tough. That's a challenge. I'm going to unpack a little bit more of that in a few moments. But we're signing up for that if we're signing up to follow Jesus. We're signing up to put God's purposes above our preferences, above our desires, maybe even above our needs. If you've signed up to follow Jesus, then you die to the person you used to be. In Romans 6, Paul talks so clearly about baptism, talks about how when we come to faith in Christ, we put our old self to death and we're raised with Christ to new life. Is that worthy of an amen? We are raised to new life in him. We don't live for the things we want to live for anymore. We don't live for our own passions and desires. We've put them to death because our old self has died and we've been raised to life with Christ. We now live for the things that are important for him, not the things that are important to us. And it's so easy to say, isn't it? And it's so easy to get excited about, but it's really, really tough to do. On the 1st of September this year, we've got a baptism. And a number of people have come forward and said, I want to get baptized. And we're really excited about that. There is room for more. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you want to follow him, then baptism is right at the heart of this process of saying, I'm dying to my old self. I want to be raised to new life in Christ. When we go under the water, that's our old self dying. When we come up out of the water, that's us raising to new life in him. If you have decided to follow Jesus and you haven't yet been baptized, please come and speak to me, come and speak to one of the leaders, anyone who's been involved today in this service, because we would love to explore with you how you could be baptized. It's part of your journey to become more like him and to live for him. His priorities become our priorities. His mission becomes our mission, and his heart becomes our heart. But it's tough. I find myself, whenever I'm preaching recently, essentially preaching the same kind of message because I believe that God has laid it on my heart so much. And it's a message that says we are called to a life of laying down the things that we want and picking up the things that he wants, because we no longer live for ourselves, we live for him. And if we choose that route, it's not easy. There'll be challenge. It'll be difficult. We're going to have to lay down some of the things, some of the fears we have, and push through on things to become more Christ-like. But we come alive when we do, because we're living how we should live with the things that are important to him. If there's one character in the New Testament that just shows how it is to lay down your life other than Jesus, of course, I'm inspired by Paul, the Apostle Paul. And I was looking at this as I was preparing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul talks about, he explains how he's been working so hard. He explains how he's been in prison. He explains how he's been flogged and exposed to death numerous times. And then in verse 24, he says this: 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and I have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Who wants to follow Jesus? But guys, I'm not saying that that's going to happen to all of us. But I am saying that if we sign up to follow Jesus, we're signing up for something that's not easy. We're signing up for something that's going to cost us. we're signing up for something that we're going to have to lay some stuff down for. I'm afraid we're not called to an easy life of living for ourselves and our desires if we just choose to follow Jesus. We had our hog roast last Sunday, and many people were there, and it was great. I want to just publicly say thank you. There were so many guests there. We had about 6 people from Alpha who came along. I just was saying hello to lots of people I didn't recognize. Lots of people had brought along friends, family, neighbors, colleagues, and it was brilliant. And as leaders, we felt really encouraged because we thought, I think our vision for these kind of events, we're starting to get this as a church. So thank you for those who took a step and invited someone. If you invited someone and they weren't able to come, thank you. That's just as great. The main reason we've started running brunches every 6 weeks instead of a meeting like this here at the Apollo, the reason we do events like the Hog Roast, primarily the main reason we do that is to help people connect with church. I'm an extrovert. I love speaking to people. I'm really happy speaking to someone I don't know. I will strike up a really natural conversation with someone I don't know. That's just me. I know everyone's not like that. I'm happy to do that. And I'm happy to invite people, and that's good. But the thing with, even with me, like that, being an extrovert, and being involved with church all my life, if I go to a church, which I have done a few times recently, and I go in and I don't know people, I feel pretty exposed. I feel a little uncomfortable. Think about it. If you have never been to church before, if you don't know what to expect at a meeting like this, and if you don't know anyone, and if maybe you're a little bit more introverted than I am, that's a challenging place to be. We want to create an environment where people can explore what it's like to connect with Christians. They can explore in a social kind of setting what it's like to be church. If you think there's someone who would benefit from that, who may find it a little bit overawing to come into a setting like this, but you think actually they could come along to a brunch, then invite them. That is the primary reason we're doing those events. Now, there's loads of other spin-off things that are brilliant. It's helping us to come together as the hub. It's great to get to know each other. There's loads of things, inward type stuff that is brilliant, and we're celebrating about those events. But the primary reason is to help people connect with church. So can I encourage you to think, who could you invite to come with you to a brunch? The next one's on the 8th of September. And I think I've got a slide. There you go. Kempshot Village Hall. If there's someone that you could invite to that next brunch, wouldn't it be great if someone could come here on a Sunday, having been to a brunch, and think, oh, I recognise that person and that person. I've chatted to them. They were really nice, so I feel a little bit more comfortable now. Or we could say, oh, I recognise you. You were at the last brunch. Welcome. That is why we're doing these events. As an entry point to church, as a connection point to church, who could you invite? Who could you, having change your mindset a little bit about the kingdom of God? How could you, having decided, I'm not willing to just be passive anymore, I want to be part of a vision to reach lost people? For some of you, you might find that kind of social brunch setting difficult. We recognize that. Some of you may not have come to a brunch because you feel like, that's not me, that's not the kind of thing I like to do. Could I encourage you to repent over that? Not in the sense of a heavy, I shouldn't be like that. I'm not saying that. But when I say, could I encourage you to repent over that? I'm asking you, could I encourage you to have a change of mindset over that? Can I encourage you to come before God and think, how can I think differently about this? How can I be part, even though that's not my thing, how can I be part of a vision to reach lost people in this town? If for you it's like, I just can't be part of that kind of setting, I just can't do it, it's too much for me, then how could you think, I still want to be part of a vision to reach lost people? here in Basingstoke. Maybe you could come with us the day before and help to buy the food. Maybe you could turn up early and help to set up. Maybe you could come afterwards and help us to clear up. How can you still be part of the vision of this church to reach lost people, even when you can't necessarily connect with certain parts of it? Do you get my heart in that? Finally, I want to talk about a course we've got coming up called Catalyst. You may have seen some flyers around. We've got some new flyers we've just done for this week. They're a little bit wordy, but so you won't be able to see it here as I hold them up. But there are some on the table as you go out in the foyer area. Could I encourage you to pick one up and have a read about what Catalyst is about? It's a course, a discipleship course, that we are running between September and December this year. There's going to be three Saturdays. We're going to launch it on the 14th of September. We're going to have a day on the 19th of October and finish it on the 7th of December, those three Saturdays. In between those Saturdays, between September and December, each Tuesday we're going to gather in the evening. We're going to have lots of encounter time together in the presence of God. We're going to be splitting into groups. If you are in a small group already, why don't you come on this course as a small group? Leaders, you'll have 3 months off planning. Let us do all the planning for you. Why don't you come as a group? Because there'll be plenty of time to be in group. If you're not in a small group and you're interested in being part of a small group, would you come on this course? We will put you into a group for the course. That group then could continue after the course. We also want to train leaders. If you're interested in leading a small group and you're interested to know what's on our heart for them, come along. This course is for everyone. If you want to go deeper in the up, in, and out dimensions of Christian life, come on this course. It will be a challenge. It will be a challenge. We'll have to break through some fear barriers at times because we will be going out and trying to connect with people. We will, in our small groups, be encouraging you in the week to connect with people who are far from God, to share your testimony, to share something of the gospel. We will be encouraging you to do that, and it will be tough for some. Can I just say as well, as I've explained, I've definitely got extrovert tendencies, definitely. I've got evangelistic tendencies, I really have. I love doing that. But I find it really hard to go the next step and share about my faith. I have to push through every time. I'm really happy chatting to people about anything, but when it comes to chatting about my story or chatting about Jesus or offering to pray for someone, that is a hurdle I need to get over every time, and it's a fear barrier, and it's something that the enemy puts up to try and stop me doing it. I've got to smash it every time. I don't think any of us find that easy. But on this course, we will recognize that people are at different points. For some people, you're not even used to, you just don't connect with people when you're out and about. And that's our culture. That's normal. That's fine. You don't necessarily even smile at people or say hello to people. That's just not something you do. So maybe the first step for you is just to engage with someone and just say hello. And if that's breaking a fear barrier for you, then that's to be celebrated. And we will celebrate that. For others, maybe you're a bit more like me and you're happy to talk to people. And the next stage will be to actually get on to talking about Jesus. And if you manage to crack that fear barrier, then that's going to be celebrated. But, you know, following Jesus isn't easy. If we want to be part of this God breaking in, Kairos, the kingdom of God is here, then we're going to have to do a bit of repenting and we're going to have to do a bit of believing. And for all of us, that is a step. We're not going to expect everyone to be at the same point, but we will be challenging you to step out a little bit. I will be challenging myself. I will be challenging the other leaders. They'll be challenging me. You'll be challenging me. It's all going to happen and it's going to be great. So more details here, but and how you can sign up as well. Details are here. We are united as disciples together. We're united to worship God. We're united to reach lost people. Please don't fall into the trap of believing and not practicing. Please don't just think it's okay just to have this kind of belief in God and do nothing about it. I really believe we need to, if we want to be disciples, be people who are willing to smash that fear barrier and say, I want to be part of a vision to reach lost people. Let's change our mindset and have faith in what God can do. I'm just going to lead us in a bit of a response, if that's all right, guys. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment to stand if you want to respond. And I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes when we do that. So, because I just want this to be about us and God. I don't want this to be a kind of a show or be embarrassing for anyone. It's got to be between us and God individually. But I want to ask us some questions, and if it applies to you, I'm going to invite you to stand in a few moments. First question is this. Do you need to die to your preferences and desires? Do you need to understand that you've finished your old life? If you've decided to follow Jesus and you now live for what he wants, not for what you want. If that's for you, I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. Or do you want to declare before God that you want to play your part in reaching lost people? Do you want to declare before God that I'm willing to give this a go? I'm willing to try and smash through that fear barrier, whatever that means for you, and it will mean different things for different people because we're all at different points on this journey. Have you been believing but not practicing? Has that struck a chord with you this morning? Have you been living a Christian life of, yes, believing in Jesus and, yes, coming along to church, but actually haven't yet grasped this kingdom of God breaking in and being part of a church, a Holy Spirit-empowered church to worship him and reach lost people? Do you need to stop being passive and become practicing? And finally, if you're here this morning and you haven't decided yet to follow Jesus, you're not a Christian, but you're realizing today as God is meeting you that you want to be. I realize I probably haven't done a very good job selling it to you. But in some ways I have, because it's a call up. It's something worth living your life for. It's something worth laying down your life for. And if you want to, for the first time, say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be part of a church to reach this world. Then you've got an opportunity to respond to that in a moment. So do you need to die to your preferences and desires? Do you want to declare before God that you want to play your part in reaching lost people? Have you been believing but not practicing? And do you want to surrender your life to the Lord for the first time? If any of those four things you want to respond to, could I ask us to close our eyes? And then if you want to respond to any of those four things, could I just invite you to stand now, please? Wow. Remember, this is between you and God, no one else. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you broke into this world. Thank you that you declared the time has come, the kingdom of God is here. Thank you that you bring your kingdom here. Thank you that you're still bringing your kingdom. Thank you that as a church, we are empowered by your Holy Spirit to be your body, to reach this world with a message of a God who loves them and is for them. Lord, we want as a church here in the hub to be faithful to that call. We want to be your hands and feet here in Basingstoke and to wherever else you call us to. But we know we need you working through us to do it. So Lord, whichever one of these we've responded to, Lord, for those who say, I want to die to my preferences and desires, would you help them to do that, Lord, I pray? Would you put your finger on the things that we need to change? Lord, thank you that you're with us and you help us to do that. Lord, please help us. Firstly, to understand that we've died to our old self and that we now live for you. But Lord, this is not something we have to strive for and work for and try really hard for. This is something where we can say, Lord Jesus, would you take over by your Spirit and would you help us? Lord, lead us in that, we pray. Lord, for those who want to declare before you this morning, I want to play my part in reaching lost people. I want to step out. I want to be able to, with your help, break through this fear barrier that the enemy presents before me each time. Lord, would you help us to do that? Would you give us opportunities, Lord? As we stand before you saying, this is us, we want to do this. Would you help us, Lord Jesus? Would you give us boldness? Would you help us in that moment when we have that choice? Do we go for it or do we let that fear just kind of take over a little bit? Lord, would you help us to choose life? Would you help us to choose your kingdom in those moments? Give us opportunities, we pray, Lord. Would you help those who have stood this morning to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been believing but not practicing. I've been keeping this for me a little bit. I've been just content with believing in you and coming to church and, yes, doing great things, but I need to believe more. I need to practice more. I need to stop being passive. Would you help those who have responded to that this morning, Lord Jesus, I pray. Empower them, Lord. Give them all they need to do that, I pray. Remind them of this decision they've made this morning, I pray. And Lord, for anyone who stood this morning to say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to make that decision for the first time. Lord, would you bless them? Would you come into their life, Lord? As they say, Lord, come and be my Lord and Savior. Would you take over their lives? Would you lead them into new life with you? Would you make them a new creation in you, I pray? Lord, may they remember this day. May they follow you all the days of their lives and know that they're living for you now, not themselves. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for being with us. May we go in the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do take your seats. Thank you to all those who responded. Can I just say, if you have responded to that last one, that you want to choose to follow Jesus for the first time, please don't leave here this morning without talking to someone about that. If you've come with someone, then chat to them about it. Ask them to pray for you. We will lead you through a prayer to give your life to Jesus. And that's an important first step of putting your faith in him. If you've come on your own, or you'd prefer to speak to myself or Dan or Nancy or anyone else, then do come and find us. We'll be here at the end. We would love to pray for you. But please, let me appeal to you, don't leave here without having spoken to someone. Thank you, Dan.